We're going to get going this morning talking about a true worship. Last week we looked we dealt with the scriptures where Jesus in John the 4th chapter was talking to the woman at the well of Samaria, and he said what God was looking for concerning worship. He was looking for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. We know this, we talked about the fact, you know, with especially moving over into areas of the spirit. In other words, God wants us to worship him, in other words, our heart being in it. Well, your heart, you know, we have what we call this morning here, we sing songs here together and worship, and it is, but it's not, that's not just worship in itself. You know, it's part of worship is doing that. Really, worship is something you do all the time in your life. Your lifestyle and everything is what is a worship to God. You know, we read, you know, from the scriptures, we're supposed to present our body as a living sacrifice. In other words, that's a daily thing. We don't come to church, you know. There's lots of times people over the years, they come to church and they commit to God when they come to church, but all week they aren't committed to God. You know, it doesn't do any good to commit to God at church. It's being committed to God all the time. We have a walk of faith. A walk of faith is from your heart. And it's following truth. So my entire walk of life is a worship to God. So it's something we want to follow and do in our entire life, and is looking at that, you know, most people have is worship is singing some songs. I mean, that's good to do, to sing some songs. But one of the things, you know, like you can come to church here and everybody's singing together, it can be pretty easy to do. But when trouble comes in life, are you singing or what? You know, most people, trouble comes, they're whining and trying to get somebody to pray for them. They ain't worshiping. They don't worship God. You know, I learned a long time ago. I will spend more time in thanksgiving and worship on things than I do for lots of things in prayer, than praying themselves. Lots of times people are wasting their time praying because they're praying because of their trouble and problem. Lots of times what people need to do is get before God and worship and praise God and magnify God, acting like He's real. You know, when you go to prayer, you ought to go to prayer like God's big. You shouldn't go to prayer with a whine on your voice. We should go to God believing He's big. He's going to do something. He's going to move for me. I'm talking to Father God. I'm talking to the Creator of heaven and earth, you know. But we have, you know, in our society, we know the squeaky wheel gets all the oil, you know. Well, God's kingdom, it don't work that way. The squeaky wheel dies. Hey, it does. God don't respond to you because you whine. He doesn't respond to you. He's not like people do, you know. They'll just try to keep your mouth shut, give you what you want. God don't do that. God isn't, he isn't a father who listens to the whining kid. That's not what God does. But we have that idea because, see, in the natural, that's what we do. The kid that whines the most always, you know, gets the most attention. And the kids who do right don't get any attention. And after a while, they get sick of the kid and they get sick of the parent, who always does nothing but respond to the whining kid. Oh yeah. And that's what happens. They get tired of that. And God doesn't do that. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He ain't the rewarder of the whiner. Do you ever know that? I've had people tell me that God's going to respond to them because, well, He knows all the troubles I have. I said, man, the world's full of trouble and most people never get heard from God. Being in trouble don't get you anything from God. Dear Lord, if it did, God'd be moving like crazy in the whole earth. We'd be in the middle of the biggest revival you ever saw in your life. Is there trouble out there? Are people in trouble? Sure are. Hallelujah. But faith responds to God, and if we faith responds to God, like God's going to do something. Not like, you know, I have to whine. I don't have to whine to get God to do something for me. He enjoys doing something for me. He wants to. His desire is to do something. So I don't have to try to, you know, whine to Him and, oh, make up excuses of things and try to see, you know, maybe I can cry a little bit. That'll really help, you know. If I really get over there, I show a tear. I don't get a couple of them down there. That'll get Him for sure, you know. If the kid cries, oh, I hate to see my kids cry. Never bothered me in the least. When they were whining because they were just being in trouble, they could cry all they want and I could have cared less. You know? My kids never got attention to me because they were whining. They never did. I didn't get no attention. You didn't get attention that way. That isn't how you did it. I learned from my parents. They weren't moved because you whining. You have 9 kids in a family. You can't be moving for the whiners. They ain't got time for that. Well, I don't care if you got 1. You don't move for the whiner. You learn to do that. You don't teach your child to do that. Most people have learned in our society is to be a whiner to get what you want. And that's one of the things is Christianity in America has a terrible time. They have an awful time. Because the society is in the church. And the people come along and they think, well, God, and you know, we whine in trouble. We come along, we have problems, and people are supposed to take care of everything for us and do stuff, and they don't. And people, I've watched this. There's people who move from church to whiners who move from church to church to get things. Because they went to church, they'll be there for a year or so in the church, and they give them things till finally they realize that the only reason they're here is to get something from somebody. They ain't here about God or nothing. And soon as they figure that out, I've learned this being in churches over the years. The people you do the most for will almost always leave the church. Almost always leave the church. Almost always leave the church. I thought it was just me seeing that, and I found out from other pastors. It is. You start doing people. Many people come to a church, they start to go there just because they want something from somebody. It ain't about God at all that they go to church. You got to learn to recognize that. I have a thing and I tell people, they want to come, they want something. I tell them, you show up here for about 6 months all the time. I'll see if I'll give you something. Next Sunday, they're gone. Ain't around no more. See, they don't come for God. You know, they do all this bit, they're a Christian. No, the church is a place they've learned over time. Because it does work at most places. It works, you know. But they need to understand, if you want to help them, they need God. You know, you don't want to be God for people. That's too big of a job for Ed. Too big of a job for me, being somebody's God. I can't take care of everybody. Man, I got my hands full with me, don't you? Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to look at some things of worship. One of the things we're going to go over and look at some things eventually here into the Old Testament, because there's some great types and shadows concerning things about dealing in the areas of worship to God and things. But I want us to look at some things that are said here that Paul wrote about from the New Testament, speaking of the Old Testament. We have talked about these before, because what happens is number one, if anything you and I should know is the new covenant. We should know our new covenant. But understand this, the new covenant that has been preached to us came out of its founding is in the old covenant. The types and shadows and everything. Understand, the apostle Paul, we have John, you know, and Paul and Peter and all James, all those people, they didn't have a New Testament. They preached, all their preaching of the new covenant came from the old covenant. So, you know, that people today, you know, they talk about, well, you know, we put everything into this area, the old covenant dealing law. There's a lot of the old covenant is not law. A lot of it's not. I mean, the book of Genesis ain't the law. The book of Genesis is not the law. The law was given to Moses, but you know, there was much of things in the old, what we call the old covenant, and which was an old covenant. There's a lot of the principles in there. They're still just as valid today. Do you know, is it okay to murder today? Is it okay? The Ten Commandments quit. I mean, you can still do this. See, sin in the old covenant is still sin in the new covenant. It's still the same sins. It's still the same stuff. It hasn't changed. Sin must always be dealt with, like it had to be dealt with. Now, in the old covenant, they did it from a different. They didn't have Jesus Christ raised from the dead. They had certain things that they had to do, which were types and shadow of what was to come. But they had to deal with sin when they sinned. See, and people say, "Well, today you sin, and you don't have to because we're just under grace." Man, the devil loves it when preachers preach that kind of stuff. They love people to believe it. They want them to believe that. Why? because the wages of sin is death, that he's trying to kill you, and he wants you sinning because you become a target for him. He wants you to sin. And we'll look at some things here in Scripture. So what we want to know is, listen, we want you to listen what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. So we're looking at things. Because God wants us to have life. He don't want us to fall in the traps. There's so many traps today that people fall into. And we want to follow. Jesus said we're supposed to worship God in the Spirit, but in truth. So you could have wrong stuff in your spirit, and you can be worshiping God just because it's from your heart. I heard people running, well, my heart does, well, that's fine, but what your heart is doing and wanting to do ain't in line with the Bible. And so I don't care if it's in your heart, it ain't right. You know, I've heard people say, well, I love this person in my heart. Yeah, but you shouldn't be loving on them from your heart. You know, you see, a person comes along, a Christian, they want to marry a sinner. But I've heard people say, well, I love him, and my heart really reaches out. And I say, yeah, well, you need to get right about your heart stinks. Your heart's full of trash. I don't care if you're a Christian. You get wrong stuff in your heart, and it ain't right. See, we need to, we're supposed to walk in spirit and in truth. So we want to get the truth inside of us. And then it's a hugely powerful thing. When a Christian responds with the truth from their heart, man, you got a powerful, powerful thing. That's the foundation of what faith is. That's the foundation to please God. That's the pleasure where you diligently seek God and you get the answer. Hallelujah. That's the place. That's where we want to walk in. That's where we want to be. So, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 1 says this, moreover, brethren, this is verse 1, I do not want you to be unaware. Now, as he's starting, look, I don't want you guys to be unaware. I don't want you to be unaware about that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Now, understand this. The Apostle Paul is writing to Gentiles here. These are Gentiles, mostly Gentiles. This is a mostly Gentile church. Now, he's in reference to the things he's going to be about the old covenants. He said, what are fathers? So, see, in other words, he's talking about the fathers of faith. Our fathers, we can look back at the fathers of Israel. They're our fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are our fathers of faith. In other words, Moses is a father of faith. And see, we're people of faith. He identifies them as they're our fathers. So we're talking about people that are under a covenant, walking in a covenant. So we're tied to that. He says about these ones, they were under the cloud, all passed through the water. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. You know, he referenced the manna and stuff as being the spiritual, he says spiritual food. But understand, all these things were types and shadows of things. You know, we have today, you know, we don't look around here, we don't go out every morning and get manna. That, you know, there's a lot of people like to do that. We just go out and get the manna. They get tired of that though. Just like they didn't like eating that all the time. The church today can't do the same thing more than 2 days at a time. It'd make them puke. They'd never be able to stand it. You know, we always have to have something new. You gotta get a new. You have to have something new. Yeah, we need a new revelation. We don't live in none of it we know, but we need a new one. Yeah. Hallelujah. So they ate this. It says all drank of the same spiritual drink. It says, for they drank. Now listen to what he says. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Isn't it interesting? See, he's talking about, he's translating here from something that physically happened to the church being spiritual. You know, we have here, they drank from the spiritual rock. Well, when Moses struck the rock and the water came out, that was a representation of Christ. But here he talks about it followed them. It wasn't where they drank one time and turned around and left. He's talking here because, see, from our standpoint, we're drinking of the spiritual rock. It's something that continues. It's not something like in the natural you drink. This is most in the church world today, you know, once saved, always saved is based on that. You drank it one time, so you always have it. That's once saved, always saved, John. Well, that's the way it is. See, we receive Christ to walk in Christ. It's something that goes along with us. It's something in our walk. It's not something I got saved one time, so I just go live whatever I want to live and we'll do whatever I want to do and everything's going to be all right. It's not that. Now listen what he says about them. See, we know that they didn't walk right by it, and it says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. So why was that? Why wasn't he, well, what pleases God? Faith. Here's what they didn't do. They did not walk by the word of God that God gave them. They didn't believe the word. When they got to the promised land, they didn't believe. God said, I give you the land. It's yours. You just go in and take whatever you set your foot, that belongs to you. They didn't believe that. They sent spies over and said, no, we can't take that. We can't have that land. We can't do that. You see, they didn't walk by faith. God gave them the word, but they didn't believe the word. They didn't believe what it said. So what? They couldn't please God. They don't please God because they don't believe what he says. See, believing what God says and acting on God says, that's what pleases him. See, many people say, well, I believe the Bible's true, but they never please God because they never live like it's true. They ain't going in the land. They ain't taking nothing. They ain't doing anything. Ain't stepping on anything. Well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. They don't please God. That's not pleasing to God to do that kind of stuff. That's not pleasing. You know, so anyhow, for what? Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They died. Now, understand this. As you go on to read this, this is where we were over reading where the Apostle Paul said, many of you are weak and sick and die prematurely. See, this wasn't a new thing. Because leading up to this, he had telling them here, this is what happened to Israel because they didn't walk by faith. This is what's going to happen to you. Then he told them over here, you guys got the same problem. See, they were Christians and had the same problem Israel has. This is why he's writing this. Listen what he said. Now these things became our examples. These things, what happened to them, in other words, the things he's talking about, became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also did. Why? Because it'll kill you. Yeah. Weak, sick, die prematurely. We are teaching about worship. But see, we need to deal with these kinds of things. We need to deal with the Old Testament. See, he was leading up to this, telling them this is why they died out there. It has not changed because that was old covenant. We got grace and you can still sin and do these things they did and not die. And not enter into promise. Whatever God's promise. See, God's promised the church healing. Well, if the church don't, you can't go out here and just live in sin and just have healing. It didn't work for Israel, did it? Well, he's trying to tell us, it ain't going to work for the church either. Grace don't change that. Spiritual law isn't changed because we're just going to throw the name grace out there and just say, well, then we're just, all spiritual law changes because grace came. That's why we're teaching, reaping what you sow. See, it's just in the New Testament. But see, we've all of this kind of stuff has left the teaching of the church. It's left. It's not in today. People have their time justifying this and faith. Now, to me, I have no problem with it. I mean, how can you walk in the flesh and then talk about faith and say faith is somehow I can just use faith and still walk in the flesh and I'll just use faith, and if I use faith, it nullifies everything I do in walking in the flesh. Well, it didn't with Israel. Why? Because it's spiritual law. Christ dying and being raised from the dead didn't make it okay to live in the flesh and get blessed. It didn't do that. It seems that the church seems to think that. People seem to think, well, I can just walk in the flesh and I'll be blessed anyhow. It'll all just work for me. You know, I can go rob banks. Who cares? Now, see, some of this most Christians think, well, I don't rob banks. I'm a pretty nice person. I'm a nice Christian. But yet they don't obey or follow God or listen to what God says on all kinds of things. They think because I don't do the big sins. Well, God thinks most of the stuff they do is big. God's view on it. They don't realize. Many people who would never think of murdering or robbing a bank are idolaters. Because God sure ain't on the top of the list of the one they want to follow. They have a whole lot of other things in their lives that they like a whole lot better than God. But you know, idolatry is on the top of God's list. The American church is full of idolatry. Christians in America are full of idolatry. We're going to talk about these things. We're going to be getting on because we're talking about worshiping God. We're going to talk about, see, we can go through all the motions of things, but that don't make it worship. It doesn't become worship because we do certain things. You know, it's the intents of the heart. It's the intents of purpose of the heart. See, a person can come, you know, and I guarantee you, in church world today, you have all kind of people coming in the church, and they're doing a religious duty. They're part of their, you know, the group. They like the people around the church they hang around with, and that's it. But it's more of an organization. It has very little to do with God and God. It's a nice organization, does nice things, and does nice stuff. But God ain't on the top of the list of things. He's just a terminology that's used. It's just a thing, you know, and we do all this stuff, but God's not number one on the list of things. And you know what? From the outside, it can look good. The book of Revelation. You know, the last church listed looked good. And Jesus said, I'm standing at the door knocking. I ain't even in there with you guys. But you know what? It says they look good. We got so many look good churches in the charismatic spirit field. Look good churches people think are just wonderful. And God ain't in it at all. It's all look good. Because it doesn't have the right heart. This is one thing. See, we don't know with individuals what individuals are. You know, people can show to us on the outside. They can hide things and do stuff. We can all do that. But what's really in me? What's really within my heart? I can't hide that from God. What I really am, I can't hide from Him. My intents and purposes, I can't hide from Him. I can't have, see, I can have wrong intents and purposes, but I can stand up here and you think, man, he's doing good, and he ain't doing good at all. So God knows. God knows. Hallelujah. Praise God. And, you know, that's not supposed to be a scary thing. You must learn to know your own heart. And, you know, hiding things that ain't going to change anyhow for you and that stuff. If you got it, you're good. Things you're going to have to deal with. Nobody else can deal with it for you. Hallelujah. But he told them, they were scattered. He said, so these things were written for our examples to the intent. So see, we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted. Now, he said, do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written. Now, this is a really interesting statement here. Because the statement that is made is a statement here that is from Exodus, the 33rd chapter, is when this took place. It said, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That was stated when they made the molten bull. They made the molten calf. It was a bull calf that they made. We're going to go over into eventually and look into that. We're going to look because there's things that types and shadows has to do with us today. There's things that have to do with us. But one of the things that here, he didn't say, he said about idols, and what did he say about idols? The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. He didn't say they made a molten calf and worshiped it. Isn't that interesting that the apostle Paul, you know, didn't you want to know why the Holy Spirit had him write that? Why? Because in that itself is idolatry today. See, people, we have a society today, and they had it years ago, just like back in those times. You know, worshiping God was so you could play more. You know, you get more money, get more, then you can do more of your thing. You can play more. You can do more. We can rise up and play, and we can go do our thing. That's a lot of people. They look at prosperity as something that I can just take more vacations. I can do more stuff. I can do more. There's nothing wrong with vacations. There's nothing wrong with those things. But in the church world today, it's eat and play. It's idolatry. It's eat and play. See, when people start coming along, you don't have to repent for sin. That's eat and play stuff. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. See, we have those things today. That's why he wrote this and put this inside. See, we can relate to it. Hallelujah. We know that what we call building an idol. See, the scripture says covetousness, it says in the New Testament, is idolatry. I know, because the love of stuff. Not just money, the love of stuff. Oh my God, love of stuff. People got love of stuff. Their stuff means so much to them. You know, there's people, you know, it's the most amazing thing in our society today. You have people over here, their stuff, you don't have money to pay their bills, yet they have objects they love so much they would never sell it to pay their bill. They love that object so much or that thing so much that they'll hold on to that thing. It's an idol to them. Whether people, it's an idol. It's something they love. They love more than do it. Is that walking in spirit and truth? You owe somebody money, but you'll hang on to your things and won't pay them? Is that living in spirit and in truth? No. People do that kind of things that they love that are so important to them. They won't do what's right concerning that. They hang on to this thing. You see, people hang on to stuff that's causing problems in their family, and they'll let their family go. They'd let their family go under before they'd deal with their stuff. All the things that they love and they want to do and they want to. That's idolatry. Why would Christian love put somebody else first? Not what I want. You know, there's a lot of idolatry goes on because we wouldn't have so much divorce and everything else and messed up families if there wasn't a lot of idolatry. And it has to be as much in the church. It's as much in the church world as it is any place. People, you know, self-love, you know. It is good to, you want to feel right about yourself, but, you know, too many people have way too much love for themselves. They got way too much love. Because they're on the top of the list of everything. And they don't see, we don't view those things. We look at the types and shadows in the Old Testament of building, you know, of making a bowl or doing something, some kind of altar thing. But we don't realize in your heart to over in the New Testament, we see it from a person's heart. What do they love? See, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, but that don't have to be what I'm living. If it's in there, I can kill it and let it not follow it and follow the lust of the flesh. He talked about what did they do? They followed the lust of the flesh. See, I don't think Paul wrote to these people because they weren't having none of this going on. Because of what he ends up, he told them that many were weak, sick, and died. Many died prematurely. Why? So they must have had these things going on in the church, and surely they did. They had all kinds of stuff. We find out because look what he goes on, say verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 died. Go over to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. He's dealing with them because they're letting sexual immorality go on in church. Read the book of Revelation and read the churches in the book of Revelation and see how much the problem was of sexual immorality. It talks about Jesus talking to the churches. Does he like it? No. It will bring death into the church. People will get sick and die. There ain't enough doctors to stop it. You see, you can't have those practices. He's telling us these things. These are what happened to them are examples of how could it be example to me if it ain't going to happen to me because it's grace? Well, then Paul lied to these folks. Did he lie to them? No. See, he's telling them. See, he told them back in 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, he said that guy that's involved there, that sexual thing, he said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You let that guy stay around, it's going to get on you. Oh, not today. We'll start a new ministry for the person to do everything we can to keep them in the church and to keep them around us because we ain't got enough fleshly problems. Let's keep people with problems and get more of them on us. Say, you either quit it. He didn't, you know, God don't tell you no, you know, we have this thing today of, you know, well, we're trying to quit. We're trying to do better. There's things you just need to knock it off. If somebody's in sexual immorality, you need to stop it today. It isn't, well, you know, I'm trying to quit. No, well, to you're trying to quit, I ain't eating with you or getting around you. I want you to know that. The Apostle Paul said an interesting thing over in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. He said anyone who calls himself a brother, he didn't even say if they were one. If somebody claims to be a Christian, they fall right into that category. Once they name themselves a Christian and they're in immorality, you ain't even supposed to be eating with them. I don't care if it's your kid. I wouldn't let my kid hang out in the house. We're going to have sexual sins. You go, you, adios amigos. You ain't living in my house going through that nonsense. Why? I don't want that. I got enough trouble with my flesh and things. I don't need to let the devil in the house and tempt me more. Oh, we don't do it. We got love. You know, we got love. Love will just make it all go away. Well, how's this love thing been working? Hasn't it really changed all everything? And all this loving we've been doing? I mean, don't the church just, Jesus Christ in America just have a lot less trouble because we've been doing all this level, letting all these people hang around us that call themselves Christians? We want God to make a distinction in the church and we won't. God ain't going to make a distinction in the church till we draw the line. As long as we put up with the sin and the trash, quit praying about it. Forget it. You wasting your time. I learned that a long time ago. Don't bother praying about it. Don't pray for the individual. You're the encourager of the individual. You can't be encouraging him at the same time praying to God to change it while you encourage it. This is good preaching, folks. Weakness, sickness, death. So you can't stop these things. Hallelujah. We are teaching about worship, see. It wouldn't stand us any good to stand here this morning and sing and you let this stuff go on. Singing don't stop judgment. It's set in motion. It don't stop it. Well, if I sing, it'll go away. Well, sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It'll do you about as much good. Maybe even more good. At least it'll make you feel a little bit better. All right. Hallelujah. Well, they could say 23. Then he goes, no, he ain't going to stop on this thing. And he said, now don't let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Tempting Christ. See, what do we think is tempting Christ? Do you know, from a standpoint today, we don't realize that the church is doing a lot today in the temptation of Christ. We've tempt what he would do or deal with things by how far we push grace. We keep pushing grace out there where I can just get away. Well, I'll just get away with more and get away because I'm in grace. We push it. It's tempting Christ. It's tempting his goodness. We're not taking advantage of it. We're abusing it. We abuse the long suffering of God because he isn't quick to judge and bring judgment on something. So we push it and push it and push it and push it. Have you ever done that? I guess it's just me. You guys never did that. But you don't want to do that. Why? Because eventually the destroyer showed up. It wasn't God, but the destroyer eventually showed up. Isn't this interesting? Weak, sick, die prematurely. See, he's listed. Every one of these things ended up bringing death. These things brought death. He said, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. There's ones who were destroyed by serpents and were destroyed by the destroyer. He says, now, verse 11, now, all of these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition. These things existed. They didn't write this stuff down for Israel. It was written for us. Paul said that old covenant was written down for us. Ain't that amazing? Would you think the church world, do you think half these preachers today believe that? No, it's in the Bible because you don't read the Bible anymore. That's not the thing you look. We have our own made up religion. Christianity, I said to say, most Christians have their own made up Christianity. You know, you believe the Bible, you're a freak. Seriously, you are definitely a minority that you believe that the Bible and following it. You won't let many churches read this kind of stuff and go over these kind of things. This ain't their example. You got loads of spirit-filled churches, and I know. I'm just in shock. I mean, when I was down at Randy Greer meeting, there was a minister there who was a Rhema guy who I'd never met him before, but I met him there. It was the first time he ever showed up in any of Randy's meetings, and he showed up and he said some things to me, and the Lord spoke to me about the individual, and I tell you, he's just downright messed up. I don't care around people and their beliefs and stuff are full. It's amazing how the doctrines of this age has gotten in and is filled all kind of places and things and people. And people tell them, oh, this is a good this and a good that. People don't even know what's good. The Bible said they wouldn't. The New Testament says that they would call good evil and evil good. And we're full of it today. We're filled with it. Among the spirit-filled people, we're full of it. It's gotten in. This stuff comes in. You know, the spirit of the age gets in. People start accepting things. And, sometimes it's very difficult for people because what happens when you turn around, I found myself, I was over on a very limited company of who you could hang around with. I ended up having to leave ministerial fellowship I was with. The Lord told me to leave, and I left. They were all heading down, all spirit-filled, most of them Rhema people, all heading in a direction. And the Lord said to me, if you stay with them, you're not going to end up where you want to be. Because I'm over here seeking God about following the Word and flowing in the Spirit. That ain't where they're going. What they're interested in, their number one interest is not doing the will of God and following the Word of God. Their number one interest, how can we get a crowd? Dear God, the Muslims get crowds. You don't need God to get a crowd. Just let people do what their flesh wants to do. Most spirit-filled people will run to that. Tell them it's okay. You can follow the flesh. Go ahead. It's all right. It's all right. Just party. Have fun. God wants you to have a good time. You know, yes, He does. And you and the devil, and you'll get to spend your eternity with the good time people. Where they ain't having good time no more. I ain't going there. Well, all this happened as an example, and they were written for our admonition upon, now this shows who it's for, upon whom the end of the age has come. Are we at the end of the age? Should we be reading this? This is who it was written to. It was written specifically for our age and time. Paul said that. Now, Paul was speaking the age. He's talking about the church age because the church age is the last age concerning the covenant of God's people, and the rest goes on to the judgment thing and all that kind of stuff to the new heaven and new earth and everything eventually, you know, the ruling reign of Christ and all that. But we're the last age here concerning this covenant, concerning the covenant and the covenant with Israel. This is a really important part. Israel had their covenant with God, but we're coming down. We're the people of the ones that God had sought for and set in motion about Jesus Christ. We're the whole thing. When it comes over to the book of Revelation, that's 7 years. I'm going to tell you what, that's not going to be church age. That's not going to be operating under grace. It can't be. It's an impossibility. How can the devil reign and rule over everything? In the church realm, he can. And in the church age, he can. The church has authority over him. But you check with the believers under that period of time, he dominates them and rules them. It's not the church age. We're in an age that's leaving. You know, people who have a hard time about Jesus in this age, do you think it's going to get easier for Christians who won't follow God in this age? It would be easier for them during the tribulation? I will guarantee you, if they follow the devil now, they'll follow the devil over there. It's not going to get easier. See, we're under pressure. There's pressure today. Today, you follow the Word. And people will, you know, criticize you, marginalize you, and do everything else, you know, because you don't go with the group. You see, Ed, lighten up. I ain't going to lighten up. This is a terrible day to lighten up. You've got to become more steadfast. There's more pressures. More people are fallen today. They're fallen. More people are not wanting to follow God. Loads and loads and loads of Christians think you're all right. You don't need to go to church. They say, I'm a Christian. They don't go to church. They don't do nothing. They don't support a thing God does. They don't do anything. And I'm a Christian and have this nutty idea they're going to be in heaven. And you know why? Because they've been told they were. People say, well, you know, I'm saved. God has a different opinion. I don't know who people God listens to, but I sure have a God talks to me different. And you know what? He always gives me scripture for it. He don't say the things these other people are saying. You know? He's demanding on me. My God is demanding on me. Grace doesn't mean he's Mr. Sweet and he's pinching your cheek. If he's pinching your cheek all the time, that's the devil. Because if your God was lined up with the word, you'd feel a couple slaps on the cheek every once in a while. Do you think this seemed like a nice little tweak on the cheek to these folk here? Do you think when he went on in this chapter and went over, talked about the condition they were in and what's going to happen to them, weak, sick, and dying prematurely, they were up dancing and woo, woo, glory, glory, glory. There's a dancing time and there's a kick in the butt time. And I'm going to tell you what, we ain't at the dancing time yet in church. This ain't dancing time. This is the kick in the butt time. Because I'm going to tell you what, there will not be a thing to dance about if we don't take the kick in the butt. If we don't take the kick in the butt and change things in the church world, there will not be a dance. There won't be one. I don't care what somebody prophesied and said. Prophecies are conditional. They can prophesy all the glory they want. You don't change, it ain't coming to your house. Don't matter. They can talk prosperous year. You got to do the things that prosper you. And it ain't just putting money in an offering plate. I see, people need to get a hold of this stuff. There's a life to be lived. The Christian life, it is a life that is lived. It's not something, oh yeah, isn't there, I'm under grace. Yeah, we'll do whatever. This was written for our admonition. It was written for us. It wasn't written for our ammunition. It was written for our admonition. It was written to remind us of something. Hallelujah. Listen what verse 12 says. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Woo, that was a fun preach, Paul. You know what? You can take that as a condemnation, but what he's trying to say to us, and you need to get the fact, don't you get big-headed. This is why a lot of big name preachers are not really spiritually, not very spiritual today. They've gotten too big-headed. You know, you need to understand this. The more God reveals to you, you better learn how to get humble. The only reason I know anything is because God shows it to me. If he wouldn't, I wouldn't figure it out. I only know how to get sermons if he gives them to you. Because, other than that, you're just going to have to come up with what I can think of. Look, I could sit down and take scriptures and just throw scriptures out and do all kinds of stuff. But I want to tell you what. I know what the anointing is and what it's not. You know, just having people like what you're saying ain't good enough for me. I know what it is to have the anointing, and I know what God is to move through me. And I want that. I want to have him move. I want to him. And you got to get dependent. See, you want to always keep your dependency. You don't want to get so what you think educated in the Bible. You think that you just know. See, that's one of the problems that we're dealing with among the spirit-filled people. See, God has brought so much revelation from back the charismatic renewal start and brought so much revelation to the church. And so many think they're just smart. They know all this stuff. And they don't realize they've gotten away from God. They've gotten away. They don't have need of him anymore. We can draw crowds because we know how to preach and do things that people like and want. It's easy to appease people's flesh. I'm going to tell you what, you can take psychology courses and learn how to manipulate people. I was in a church, my God, the pastor's wife was excellent at it. She was a manipulator from the word go. She knew how to manipulate people to get people to do what she wanted to do. And she was just a downright manipulator. And they thought it was spiritual gifts. loads of stuff called word of knowledge and all this kind of stuff today is operate in ministers. It's nothing but psychology. It has nothing to do with word of knowledge. It's psychological. And a lot of it's even demonic. Using psychology on people. What I'm going to tell you, psychology, you know the church is messed up because if they were gifts of the Spirit, we'd have seen more good change in the church. We haven't in the church world. They're saying all kinds of things, but it ain't helping. And people aren't getting free. They're staying bound. It's one thing as I learn about the gifts of the Spirit. See, if a gift of healing goes into manifestation, I've never seen a gift of the healing go into manifestation that it didn't heal the person. I've never seen a gift of healing go into manifestation and a person didn't get healed. We got all these things that ministers these gifts and people, they say they have gifts of healing operating, but people don't get healed. Well, there can't be a gift of healing in operation. When a gift of healing goes into operation, it goes. It's one thing to minister to people by faith, the person's involved. But if an actual gift of healing goes in, the person will get healed. If God, I've had gifts of healing operate. I've never had a person not get healed if a gift of healing. But a gift of healing don't operate all the time. They only operates as the Spirit wills. Well, when a gift of healing actually goes into operation, the person will be healed. If or not, well, what kind of gift's that? Not everybody laying hands on somebody is a gift of healing in operation. Notice people have healing ministries. Just let me say this, maybe just sort of clear some of this up. Kenneth Hagin had a healing ministry. Now in his healing ministry, his healing ministry started off when the Lord called him up to heaven and laid his fingers on his hand. He was supposed to tell people that the Lord said, when you see people, you're going to minister healing to people. Now, this is under this gift of healing he had. Now, this isn't the gifts of healing in operation in 1 Corinthians 12. This is a special healing ministry was given to him. There's people who have those. Some people have those kind of ministries. Now, that gift had to do with people in faith. A gift of healing goes into operation. Person don't even have to have faith, they'll get healed. I have never had the gift of faith operate through me and it mattered at all what the other person was thinking or saying. Whatever I said concerning that gift was on me for, it came to pass. It just happened. I never had to have the other person believe a thing. But now Kenneth Hagin, he had to tell people, Lord said, if you tell people that you saw me, that I put my fingers in the palms of your hands and you got this anointing, and if they'll believe that, now see, they had to believe something. He said, and when you lay hands on them, they will be healed. But they had to believe it. See, so that's not a gift of healing. It's not like the gifts of healing. The gift of healing goes into operation. People just get healed. Oral Roberts had a gift. He didn't have the gift of healing. He had a special healing ministry that was given to him. But people had to believe. Now, also through him, sometimes the gifts of healing went into operation. People get healed. Not believing a thing or doing. It just amazes me sometimes. You know, the gift of healing goes into operation. A person in total doubt and unbelief and turn around and gets healed. But when you're operating over in this other area, God might operate a healing ministry through you, but people have to believe. They have to believe you got something. One of the things that you'll see is like Benny Hinn, like with Brother Hagin was, because there was a predominance of so much healing through them, there's a lot of people believed because they saw the gift operating and working. They saw how it worked. And so people would believe doing that, but people had to believe. There's a difference in those things. See, today we call most anything we see, because we don't know much about the Spirit, we call anything we see, you know, a gift of healing, and most ministers don't even have a clue about it. They don't even know. They have no clue about what this stuff works or what it does. I am just so ashamed today is how few Spirit-filled ministers really know anything about the operation of the Spirit. I'm going to be honest, this is not trying to fake humility. I just can't believe how little I know about it. I mean, I get around these people, and you'd think I was a rocket scientist compared to them, and I hardly know a thing. People know so little about the spirit realm and its operation. Ministers. How do you teach people when you don't even know how it works? You can't teach people how it works when you ain't got to figure it out how it works. You don't even know. Which makes me wonder, do they have an anointing on them? Do they have one? Well, see, I know what the anointing works on me to do. And so I can talk about what works through me to do. I get around other people and I can tell anointings on them. And I can tell you, and so you know, learn to know over time. Being around like Randy Greer, I'm around him. And so I know because you can turn around and learn to hook up with that anointing that's operating through him and see how it operates and what it does. You can do that. That don't mean you have it because you don't have it just because you can sense it and see how it operates. You don't have it, but you can pick things up in the Spirit, and you should. You should be able to do that. You want to get around. You don't want to be a spectator. You want to learn, you know. Me and I want to learn. I consider myself dumb concerning the anointing. Brother Hagin talked about things about the anointing, and I think, my God, it's way over my head. What are you talking about? It's over my head. There's things that I just got to learn about the anointing and flowing with it and how to operate in it. Hallelujah. All that was free, folks. Hallelujah. But we're getting over, we want to operate in this, but, back over in the things here. I want to, look at this, something else here, read a further on a scripture. And this will help you. We were reading down through here to verse 12. I want to read down through verse 13. Listen what he says to them, and this is where this scripture comes in context. See, most of the time this scripture, we teach it and use it out and use it, and it's good at what we use it, but here it is in its context. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. What is he talking about temptation? This stuff he was just talking about here. He said, God's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to escape it. Now see, that doesn't mean you're going to escape it. He said, he'll make a way. You got to hook up and flow with it. Many people will not hook up. They have their idea how they want to deliver, what they want to do. They have their ideas. God makes a way. See, it's an impossibility to not be led by the Spirit. You see, I've learned this over the years. There's things that I can use, and you know, you folks know, I use examples of how God uses me or works through me and things like that. But that don't mean every time that it's going to be, you know, you're just going to just copy me every time on something. You can't do that. Understand, God is dealing with you about things, and why or what you do things can be different why than what I did. And He will deal with you specifically about whatever He's dealing with you with. That's why you got to listen. The way He dealt with me about things sometimes is because of where I was. And number one, where you are spiritually in maturity and stuff of what He can deal with you. Also, whatever your problem is that you're dealing with. The fact that more than one person has what seems to be the same kinds of manifestation does not mean that there's the same problem going on. Not at all. You go ask a doctor sometime. You can look, this is why doctors get confused, because sometimes people have certain manifestation, and generally those manifestations means the person has this, but they find the person don't, they don't know quite what to do. Why? Because the manifestations look like it should be this. That's why you see, you can't be this, because there are always things that don't line up. See, it's just like with sickness and disease, that we have the thing, is most people will do this thing of, you know, they get sick, and we're just going to believe. They'll start to make, generally we're taught confession, and we start to confess and believe God. You know, we receive our healing, and we do that. We might have hands laid on us. But, you know, you need to learn it over time if things don't change. You need to stop and say, now hold it. Is there something here we're missing? Why? Because why? These things go on. Is there some reason? See, you have to find out. Sometimes a reason could be, we talked about before, reasons why people are sick. Sometimes a person maybe really is not in an area of faith like they should be. As far as they know, they're in faith. That's what the Lord told Kenneth Hagin when he was a young kid on the bed. He said, as far as you know, you're believing. But see, he had a change because he believed as far as he knew, but he didn't know far enough. So the Lord gave him revelation. In other words, he needed a further revelation. And so God gave him the revelation. See, many people, that nothing changes, and they need more revelation, but they're too stubborn to act like, well, they don't want to admit they don't know. Well, you'll stay sick. You'll stay sick. Ah, no, you guys have never been stubborn. That's just me. Sometimes you think you know. See, it's one thing as I've learned, especially as my years have gone by, as learning. I have learned to be quick to stop and say things ain't changing and say, Lord, well, if there's anything I need to change, you show me. I'll make whatever change I need to make, whatever it is. If I don't know, is something going on? You know, it's just like this in the areas of healing. See, we get over and doing the things, and you might know what it says, but if you're confessing and things never change, there could be something demonic involved. And you know what? For some reason, now sometimes sometimes, you know, for like especially having hands laid on it, sometimes we'll see like when Jesus ministered to people, it says in the scriptures, you know, that the demons went out, that he laid hands on people and demons went out. Yet other times he had to deal with the demon. You need to understand that. Sometimes the healing anointing itself will cause a demon that is impressing a person to leave in that area. But that doesn't always work. Sometimes, I know over the years, I've had to deal with a demonic power. I had to deal with it specifically. And from what I can surmise, and I've listened to other ministers and knowing myself, is this. There are different types of demons. And they have different, there's different levels of power concerning demons. Some demons have very little power. They have very little power. Not much of anything. There's other ones have a lot more power, and there's different demons have more power. And it seems that, and usually it's this, the ones that are dealing with more power, you're going to have to deal with them directly. You know, it was like Kenneth Hagin and them, they were praying for 3 days for a woman. They were in a church with some ministers, and we had talked about this. They were praying and praying and praying for her. This woman, nothing was changing. Brother Hagin finally told him, he said, now they're praying 20 hours a day, sleeping 4 hours and 20 hours a day. So they had spent 60 hours in prayer and nothing had changed concerning this woman. They hadn't heard from God about anything. And Brother Hagin said, I've never prayed this long and God hasn't spoken to me and told me something that we needed to know. He said, I believe we're missing it. He said, we're praying from the sending end. This is where most people miss it. They're always hooked on the sending side. See, I learned this as a young Christian, is to get over on the receiving side. Most Christians miss it because when they talk about faith, they're all talking like they're trying to get God to give it to them. Well, if he ain't given to you, how could you receive it? How could you have ever received it if he didn't give it to you? If you're waiting for him to give it to you, you ain't in a place of faith yet. You haven't believed he gave it to you yet. That's what you're supposed to believe. He already gave it to you. See, but I can't see it or feel it. That's the whole thing about faith. You don't need faith if you can see it and feel it, because you'll know it. You have it. Faith is what you do. Do you feel it? That's about what you do. You have to live in that unseen place. That's the place where your flesh don't like. It seems funny to me that people would rather put up with sickness and disease in their flesh than make their flesh believe that something they can't see has happened to them that's good. They'd rather stay sick. Hallelujah. Anyhow, this lady, Brother Hagin said to this minister, he said, we've been praying this long. And he said, I've never prayed this long and God hasn't spoke to me or told me something. He said, we need to get over, he said, I believe on the receiving end. He said, it isn't about God sending, it's about, he said, we need to change how we're praying. And this is amazing, because once they changed how they pray, the woman got healed instantly. They got over and started praying, and God revealed to Kenneth Hagin that there was a demon involved. And he walked up to the side of the bed, told the demon to come out, the woman was instantly healed. They spent 60 hours of prayer and didn't do a thing. And was not going to. She would have died if they would have kept doing what they were doing. And they would have all called it faith. But it wasn't operating. Why? It wasn't spirit and truth. They knew how to pray and they do. So they're doing it. You can do it on your own. You can do your own thing. You know, you can pray in tongues on your own. Your spirit knows how to pray in tongues. But you can pray in tongues and God not hook up with you. Believe me, folks, I've done it. I've prayed for people, and I've prayed for people for over long periods of time, trying my best to get God to hook up with me and could not get him to hook up. And finally, I just stopped and said, Lord, you ain't hooking up with me at all on this thing. And sometimes I've had him tell me, yeah, and I ain't going to either. I'm not going to. I've prayed for people already. God said, I ain't going to hook up. I've prayed for people, and God said, they know what to do and won't do it. You can't do it for them. See, you need to know. You need to learn to pray and listen to the inside. We're talking about worshiping God in spirit and truth. See, we can sit and sing songs all we want, but if we're not listening to what he's saying to do or paying any attention to that and that stuff, do you think he gets really excited and thinks it's really cool and just, well, you're singing to me and I like that. See, we got to listen. This is a life. It's a life that's lived out of the inner man, spirit and in truth. That's just who God's seeking. He's seeking those who worship me. It's a worship to God. When you and I walk in the Word or just do it, when we listen what's on the inside of us to do and do it, that's worship to God. God gets excited when we listen on the inside and do what He tells us to do. You will never do that and not get reward. Reward always comes from it. Always do. I have never listened on the inside of me and done it and not ended up with a reward. Sometimes you get over the reward. Sometimes, like Mike said this morning, you get over and start doing right. Sometimes pressure comes. But you keep following what's in your spirit. There will be reward. There's nobody that's ever out here doing the will of God and they didn't end up getting reward out of it. That never happened. You know, well, God told me what to do and, you know, they went under. Well, God wanted it for a reason. Yeah, the God that told you that did. But not the God of heaven. Not the one who's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do that. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek things. If something bad comes along to you because of it, could that be, is that the reward of diligently seeking Him? Well, come on! I've been seeking God for healing and He killed me. Well, I'll tell you what, He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I didn't want that reward. I didn't ask for it. You know, in the Old West, they used to put up the reward posters. It was so much money. You took the guy in, you expected the bucks. Except if you're a Christian. Now you expect the devil to eat your lunch when you get there and take what money you had. See, well, God had a reason. God puts up false posters. John Wayne would have shot him. He wouldn't have put up with him. Because John Wayne would have said he was worse than the criminal. And he would be. Hallelujah. Many times we have a false god that we worship. Listen what... Here Paul again writes to the Romans, and he says this in Romans 15:4. He says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning." Whatever. He didn't say some of the stuff. He says whatever was written before was written for our learning. "That we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, the church at Corinth, the things we read in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, they were really, in that chapter, he's chastening them. But understanding, you read about chastening. God chastens because He loves. See, God chastens to bring improvement. Why? Because He wants to bless. Because see, the outcome of Scripture is through the patience and comfort of Scriptures, we might have hope. You know, understand, faith is a substance of things hoped for. You got to come to the place of hope. See, if you live and don't follow God and follow the Word and that stuff, things just are going to keep getting bad, bad. You can't come to the place of hope. Your faith will never work. It can't work. You can't just keep living in sin and doing stuff and things and it turn out good. There's that dirty word, patience. The patience and he says the comfort of Scriptures. You know, see, it's like me. When I read these things from 1 Corinthians where I read 10, they bring comfort to me as number one. If I walk right, I'm living, I do what's right, it's going to work for me. Tells me where to straight to walk into. See, we don't look at that. We never think of correction as being comfort or being good. And that's why we live in a nation that doesn't correct people. People don't correct their kids. People don't do nothing. They don't do anything. Why? They have that because, see, correction's bad. Correction's evil. It's negative. 90% of what the church says is positive is negative to God. They take good things from the Bible today that are good principles of faith and how to get your needs met, and they push them the whole way over to the ditch where it does nothing but turns people into idolaters, lovers of stuff. That's what they turn into because they pervert Scripture and they push it too far where people end up loving stuff instead of loving God. Faith, I don't care what subject it's on in faith, should always lead you to a loving God. I'm going to tell you what, the more I learn about healing, the more I love Jesus. Dear God, the more I'm, because that's where it comes from. Without Jesus, my faith don't even matter. He's the one that brings it to pass. I don't. My faith is no value without His. Because why? He's the healer. And my faith responding to the healer gets me healed. And I don't get healed so I can go on more vacations and go spend more time and retire when I'm 35 so I can go play and eat all the time and dance and do whatever. It's so I get money and give to God and work for God. See, it's a big difference. We've lost those things. They've carried to extremes. A pastor told me, well, we have a lot of people in our church. See, he has a prosperous church. He taught people this prosperity. And you know what? They all got money, and they don't go to church half the time because they're out running around in motor homes and all their stuff and things and don't show up. But you know, they've learned tithe, so they tithe. They send their tithe. But they go out running and ain't in church. And he said to me in a complaint about it, I said, would you tell him about it? And he just looked at me and I said, no, you won't either. Why? Because it's better to have the crowd money. Because, see, that's what satisfies him. He's more in the flesh than they are. They ain't the bad people. He is. He trained them to do what they're doing. He trained them in that stuff. Instead of stopping and saying, no, that ain't what it's about. We don't get money just so we can go out here and do it. Having money isn't about it doing what he wants. I know what it is to do what I wanted in life. I know what it did to my life. I ain't going back there. I'm not going back to that. I lived that stupid thing. I know the outcome of it. I don't want to ever go back and live under the fear that I lived under back in those days. Driven by it. That's why so many Christians today are driven by fear and that stuff. They don't. You got to go over and find out, what were you saved for? Were you saved just for you? I was saved so I could follow God and walk with God. I am so glad. Hallelujah. He's a life giver. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I step on the shores of heaven, he ain't going to say, boy, are you lucky you made it, Ed? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, listen, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now understand this. He ain't talking about the new covenant. They preach from the old covenant. He's talking about the old covenant. He's talking about the one that we have over here that most people think, well, yeah, that's all gone. I don't have to live by that no more. No, we can live by the flesh now. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's has a little bit of profit sometimes. It's sort of good. It's not too bad, but don't take it so serious. He said it's profitable. What? For doctrine. Oh, and another dirty word for reproof. No, don't reprove me. Let me alone. I'm under grace. I don't have to admit I sin. Oh, for reproof. No, another dirty word here to put in. Correction. Oh, my God. Who would think I need corrected when I am allowed to sin and don't have to confess it? Why would I have to have correction? What would that be for? Oh, I wish Paul would have got saved. For instruction in righteousness. See, you know what? You might be the righteousness of God, and you are in Christ Jesus. But you need to learn how to live in it. And I want to tell you what, if Christians don't learn to live a righteous life, they're going to end up weak, sick, and die prematurely. That's what's going to happen. You can be the righteousness of God and die. Do you think a church at Corinth weren't the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Well, sure they were. But the scriptures, for them, they need to learn he was writing to them because they weren't living righteous lives. See, you can be righteous, but it's another thing to live righteous. That's a whole other thing. Doesn't matter how righteous Ed is. If I don't live it, that righteousness just goes to waste. It's a waste. It has no value. Righteousness has a big pay in your life. You live and walk righteous. Hallelujah. Study the subject time about righteousness in faith. Walking righteous. You know what that righteous word means? Real simple. Walking right. There you go. Not doing what we read in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now, don't walk in that. It's so you live right. You walk right. That's walking righteous. Do what the Bible. Find what the Bible says is right, not what men say is right. Find out what the Bible says is right to do. Walk in it. Do what's right. See, we're supposed to be worshipers, what? Spirit and truth. You follow the truth. You walk over in the areas of spirit. Listen what he says, verse 17. What's the purpose? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, this is the purpose of it. This is the purpose. In other words, look, if those people could learn, who didn't have the new covenant like we have today, written down, and they have the old covenant, and the apostle Paul would expect that they could, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work from the scriptures of the old covenant. What should we be able to do with the new written out nicely for us? It is shameful to the church today, the revelation that Jesus Christ has brought to the church. It is shameful, the dirt in the church. It is absolutely disgusting and shameful, church world, how many Christians. See, you're weird, folks. You're weird. You're odd. You're strange that you would even think about living right. You're looked at. There are literally Christians and ministers who think, you know, you're just over the top. You know, have a good time. Relax. Just, you know, go ahead. Just, you know, you just need to do this. You know, just, you know. You know, you sin a little bit, it'll do you some good. It's just, you know, lighten up. You know, have an affair. Do something, you know. Sure. Well, what do they think? You think a lot of ministers ain't out here having them? That's happening all the time. Do you think people who like perverts and say they're okay to have them in the church that they aren't participating? If they think it's all right, they're doing it. And if they aren't, they sure want to. And if you got the want to, you might as well. That's what Jesus said. Because you're going to be judges if you did. I don't read that one either. Sorry, we'll leave that one out of the book. I'll tell you what, that's one we don't want. Hallelujah. See, we're going over these things are important, folks, to us. And they're important that we walk and live in these areas. That's what we're going to talk about. We have today in the world, in the church world, there's a lot of idolatry. There's lots of things within. We'll begin to look at next week at some of the things in the Old Testament, the types and shadows dealing with us. We want in our lives, we want to, like with me, I want to know what the Word says. If things I need to get out, I want to get out. There's things I need to bring in, I want to bring in. But you know what? I want to just like the Old Covenant. And understand, the Old Covenant, if you look at it, when it dealt with worship and the lives that they had to live, God established and told them how to, basically, it's amazing how to do almost everything. This is the way it is. This is what He wanted. He laid out His plan. What He wanted. I mean, think about this. When God took, Moses and said to Moses, I want you to build the tabernacle. God didn't go along and say, hey, you know, I just want this thing, this length, and we're going to do this. Hey, and you just decide what kind of things you'd like to do here with this and that and the other thing, and I'll just. God went as far as telling them the weight of the gold that was put into an object. The exact weight. He didn't let them make it like it went. He told them exactly how to make it. You go over and read in the temple that David got the plans for. That entire building, God, every detail of that building, God gave to David. Wow, that's the place God's going to be worshipped. That's the place where God's presence. See, You understand, you're the temple of God. God has a distinct plan about what you're supposed to be like, and it's because of Him being in you. See, if you want that God that's in you to manifest, you have to come in line. You must come in line of what is supposed to be in that temple, in your spirit, what's not supposed to be in it, what you do. See, we don't have that today. We have, you go to most churches, they have their form of worship. See, what do we have? What did Paul wrote? Paul wrote and said, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Well, see, we deny the power and say, oh, they don't believe in healing. And stuff. No, they deny the power of God. They have a form of godliness, but God doesn't have the power to come in and talk and tell them what they want. He wants His, but they don't have His plan. It's their plan. It's their power that dominates and rules in the worship. Their worship life is about them. Their churches are about them. It's about what they believe. We like it this way or we like it that way. God, when you sit down and look at the meticulous instructions given to David to how that is and the worship, how it had to be done. Go over and look at the law, what God said to Moses, how sacrifices had to be made, how different things had to be done. God gave precise. He didn't leave nothing up to the choice of the man what he wanted to do. Today, we think freedom is you having your choice. No, it's not! God's not an American! He didn't write the Constitution. Men did. They put good things in it. But they weren't perfect either. You have to listen to God. You have to listen to God. And see, we're not, we decide what we want and how we want to do it. And I want it this way. And but what does God want? When I came into the kingdom, I think all these people that were just coming to the kingdom were closer to many things with what God wanted than today. I think we've gotten way off, far off of many things of what God wants. But we've lost the simplicity of worship from the heart. We've lost that. Oh my God, we just had a desire to follow God and wanted what God wanted. We didn't care what anybody else wanted. We wanted to do what God wanted. And that's just what we want. God, what do you want to do? God, do you want to do something? We want to do whatever you want to do. We weren't rocket scientists. We weren't geniuses about stuff. We were so dependent on God because we weren't smart enough to do it. We just, you know, my words. God, show me what to do. I wake in the morning and say, man, maybe you have to flip the switch to get me breathing. You know, just. But today we're so genius. We just know and we just, and you know, there's one thing is I've done over the last couple of years. I've just gotten a lot more simplistic concerning things of God. Just listening on the inside. Just, man, I want to know Him on the inside. If He isn't revealing, I ain't doing. I'll tell you what, see, people talk about, you know, today is even the church world, ministers, oh, we're just so busy. Ministers are so busy. Yeah, and I'm just going to say this and be accurate. 80% of what they do ain't got a thing to do with God or whatever He told them to do. And they're so busy. Busy doing man. If all this busyness was God, it would be producing. That's why I know it's a lie. It's a lie. But we don't want to face that. We might as well, if it ain't working, God, I must have messed up. You sure didn't. But the arrogance, the self-worship, the arrogance of people. See, it's like with yourself. Don't get in your head. Don't walk around telling people you're believing God and nothing ever changes. Stop that. That is nothing but arrogance, self-centered, selfishness, trying to promote yourself to make people think you're something you're not. Don't do that. Don't get into that stuff. It never leads to any good. And you do it long enough, after a while, you won't be able to get out of it. You'll stay in it. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go that place. You don't want to fake spirituality. Don't do that for anybody. Don't fake spirituality. Dear Lord. Ain't a quarter of these ministers near as spiritual as they talk. I know. We're human beings. And the more I've learned, the more I know I don't know. The more I'm dependent. If God don't reveal things to me, it's just Ed. I hate to think that, you know. I just, my God. I'd hate to think God would say, well, you just work it out as best you can. I'd say, man, we might as well forget this. Mike, your pastor. I just, because, man, this ain't going to turn out well. We're not Jesus. We're in such need of the Holy Spirit. We need, again, back in the church, the Holy Ghost, but back into the church where he can come back and reveal Jesus again, where we become followers of Jesus Christ. And instead of after our own wisdom and our own ideas, saying, oh, God, man, whatever you want to do. That's what we're here about. And that's what we meet here for. I want to follow God. I want to know what God's doing. God has a plan. And I'll tell you what, maybe others don't, but there are people out here all over who want to do it. There's people sitting in churches where their church as a general isn't even moving that direction. But they have a hunger for God and they want something. But God spoke something when I was down through Randall Greer. He spoke to him about Elijah saying that, you know, he was the only one left. And he said, I have 7,000, he said, who haven't bowed their knee. And the Lord said that his remnant has been scattered. But he said, I'm going to bring the remnant together. Well, number one, that's going to have to be a move of God to bring the remnant together. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to bring the remnant together. See, we need that. We need the remnant brought together. We need all the hungry brought together. You know, that's what was happening back in the 1980s when I came into the kingdom. The hungry were gathered together. The hungry were all gathered together. And you know what? Wasn't there hungry out of all different churches, all kind of different people? But they would get together. They would come together. They wanted a move of God. They wanted something. And they started gathering. I'll tell you, the gatherings are going to start back. The gatherings are going to start. They're going to be meetings and they're going to start gathering and they're going to start coming in. And people are going to stand in lines again for hours to get into the place because the remnant's going to want to be together. The remnant's coming together again, folks. Hallelujah. God's bringing it back. God's bringing it back. I'm going to tell you what a force it will be. It's not going to be a bunch of rocket scientists. It's going to be people hungered and thirst for righteousness, and they're going to come and get filled. They're going to come and get filled with the glory of God. That's what's going to happen. Ain't going to be no geniuses. Jesus will be the genius. Hallelujah. And all they will do is they'll be just led by the Spirit, and God's glory will reveal itself. Hallelujah. God's going to confound the wise through the ignorant. Hallelujah. Ones that don't seem like geniuses, God's going to move. Hallelujah. And do things. I thank God because I qualify. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care how much. Don't matter how much so-called education I've had in learning in the Bible. It matters not. Without God, it is worthless. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just words on pages with me trying to perform them myself. Can't do that. We have to have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're not heading in the wrong direction. We're heading in the right direction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look in the Word of God. Don't pass up the things that deal with the correction and the things and look at them. Look at those things because they can help us improve our life. And that's what it's about. It's not to scold you and make you feel rotten or bad. It's about correction. It's about direction for your life. To look at these things and say, look, God wants to help. He don't want me to get trapped. Why doesn't he want me trapped over there? Because I get trapped over the devil. You know, don't let the devil steal your gift from the church. We've had too many over the years. We've had too many wonderful gifts of God who left this earth too early. Way too early. The church gets robbed. Good gifts. And they go because people don't know things about the Spirit. They don't understand. And sometimes it isn't people living in bad sin, but they don't know and they haven't learned. And they turn around and get robbed. You know, my call on my life was before I was ever born. God knew and God knew you. He knew what he called you to. Knows what he wanted you to do. I want to fulfill this thing. I don't want to leave before my time. I don't want to go. The body, and this isn't arrogance, the body of Christ needs my gift. Just like it needs your gift. But if you don't develop right, you might as well go because your gift's worthless. It is. It don't matter because it won't get used. This is why we do it. I'll tell you what, I want to be Abraham. God says, I'm going to send you to a land and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you there and I'm going to make you a blessing. The bottom line is make you a blessing. The church stopped at bless you. That's where they stopped. That's where the charismatic renewal stopped. It stopped at bless. Make you, they didn't go on to make you a blessing. I'll tell you what, I went on to make you a blessing. That's where I'm living. We got to finish this thing. This last day church is going to bless this world. This last day church, the glory of God is going to come into this earth in its last days. And I'm going to tell you, the harvest of this earth is going to be incredible. The harvest of this earth is going to be phenomenal. When Jesus Christ comes, you know, people talk about Jesus coming in a cloud. You know, and he said he left in a cloud. You know, he left in a cloud. That wasn't a cloud or a cloud that you could see. You know what that cloud was? It was people. He led captivity captive. That cloud was people. He's returning, it says, for the church in a cloud. He said, look, he's going to come back in a cloud. What do you think a cloud is? That's the cloud of witnesses that are coming back for their body. That's what the cloud is. Many times in prophecy, clouds are people. They're coming back in a cloud. Hallelujah. That's the cloud he left in. He left in those ones from the earth here that were held down below in Abraham's bosom, and he took them with him and went off to heaven. And he's coming back for that bunch because they're coming back for their bodies. All the saints before who have died along the way, they're all coming back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our loved ones who have gone before us, they're all coming back in that cloud. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's going to be like a cloud. In other words, it's going to be a dense bunch of people. Just like you look up at a cloud. If a cloud was just a bit of light vapor, you hardly see the things. But he said, you're going to come back in a cloud. I'm going to tell you, it's going to blot out the sun. When it comes back, this natural sun's going to be blotted out by the glory of God coming back with all the saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then the ones on the earth are going to leave. And boy, are they going to see a cloud go. Hallelujah. What a cloud that'll be. And anybody said, we're just going to disappear. They ain't going to know where we're at. That's the biggest stupid, dumb stuff I ever heard in my life. I'm going to tell you what, they're going to see billions leave. Now just think, all of them that died before are going to come back for their bodies. The term billions for that ain't going to be nothing from what leaves the earth and what has come back. It's already in heaven. Hallelujah. And how are you going to sneak that one off the earth? I want to know. And why? I'm going to have to ask Jesus, what on earth would you want to sneak me away for? I want them suckers to see me go. Amen. There's ones who will follow Christ after we leave because they see the church leave. Because after they've been here, they're going to want to leave. Oh yeah. They're going to want to leave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have a wonderful future. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. For our future. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to follow God. We're going to live lives of true worship to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. It is good when you get together and we sing and worship together. It's good. They're always good. You know, it's one of the things is you get that corporate anointing when you get people. But you know, you can worship at home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Living your life for Jesus is a wonderful worship. It's a wonderful honor. It's your life that you do that. And I mean, just think about that. You know, so many times we get a little trapped in our minds of what we call worship and things and that there, and we don't realize it's a worship to God when we're living our right lives right in front of other people. It's an honor and it's a worship to God. Hallelujah. Us living in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you today. Lord God, Lord, we're still learning. And Lord God, there's sure a lot we have to learn yet. There's a sure not we need to understand, but I thank you. Your patience and kindness with us has been so good. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, we are getting ready, aren't we? Yeah. We are. We're stepping in. We're stepping into the place that you have for us. We're stepping into it. Hallelujah. Yes, we're taking the things. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He just said that things we're talking about right now is the things that Randall Greer prophesied about, that go ahead and step in and take these things. To step in and take, see, walking in, this is our desire. See, we're listening to things. There's many, the Spirit's saying this, there's many that don't want to listen today to things. There's certain things they don't want to hear. They don't want, but you desire to hear it. There's things that your ear has desired to know and understand. And you haven't been afraid of correction. You haven't been afraid to be shown things about yourself. Hallelujah. For correction. And because of that, because of opening your heart up to those things, yes, hallelujah, the things prepared for this last day are yours. They belong to you. Oh, because you can reach out, yes, yes, and you can have them. You can reach out and take them because they do belong to you. For the Lord says, I've always longed and desired to give my people all the glory and the blessing I prepared. And now in this time, in this hour, I'm being allowed, because people preparing, I'm being allowed to hand to them the things that I have been desiring to hand to them. Because in this last day and hour, there will be things handed to you that people in the past look and saw. And even men like Smith Wigglesworth look and he saw things of glory that would be brought to the church. There's many things that these men have seen and known but have not spoken. But they saw the glory that would come and the things that would be handed, and it will be handed to this generation. For the remnant that is rising in this day, I will hand to them things of glory and treasures that have been set back by since the foundation of the earth, that my glory will be revealed in fullness in this last days through the church of Jesus Christ. And the church will rise up and that glory will be shown. Hallelujah. And men will see the glory of Jesus in its fullness. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for preparing us. Thank you for readying us. Thank you, Lord God, for correcting us and directing us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just set ourselves to obey. And Lord God, Lord, I know these ones here, they hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hunger and thirst. They desire something better, and they will have better. I thank you, Lord God, the good things of your Spirit are for them, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, your desire is for them to have health and wealth. Lord God, because they'll use it. They'll walk in it as it should be. And they will use the blessing that you give their life to bless others and to help others, Lord God, and to carry this gospel. And Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, Father. Father, I pray, use them mightily in the name of Jesus. Demonstrate yourself through them gloriously, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, there's one of the things that you've dealt with me concerning healing in the church. And Lord God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for healing, especially in your body, bringing back, Lord God, health and soundness into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Again, Lord God, health and soundness in the name of Jesus, working mightily among your people. And Lord God, Lord, we desire to have it in our bodies, but also being able to minister to others. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. But Lord God, we just don't want to minister to others and we want to have. Hallelujah. We want to know how to walk in it. We don't want to know how to live in it. Hallelujah. So we can teach others the same things. Hallelujah. So they can walk in the glory with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Multiplication. Multiplication. Multiplying ourselves. Multiplying ourselves. Multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ being glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Strong, 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 strong. That word keeps coming to me. Strong, strong, strong. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Yes. Strong, strong in our bodies, but strong in our hearts. Strong, strong in faith. Strong in believing. Strong. Hallelujah. 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 A strong people. Glory to God. Lord God, a people who don't turn from the right or to the left. Hallelujah. Strong to walk forward. Strong to walk forward. Full of the strength of God. Hallelujah. Empowered by the Spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah. Not by the might of man, but by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of God saying this. The anointing. The anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I'm releasing my anointing in this time and this hour. Hallelujah. And it's for those. It's not for all, but it is for those who desire me and hunger for me. There is for those who are moving in my plan and in my purpose. For I have yielded it out and wielded it out in this time and hour. And you can reach out and take it. Reach out and take it by faith. Yes, for the anointing is to sustain you and to help you in this time and this hour for what I've called you to do and where I've placed you. So reach out and take that anointing. Reach out by faith. Declare you have it in the name of Jesus. For I have given it. It's into your hand. Hallelujah. And it will manifest itself and it will show itself. For at times where you have walked and it has been a struggle, you will find strength now in this time. And it is not your strength. It is not your wisdom. But it's my anointing will strengthen you in this time and hour. And you will stand. You will be fortified. You will be upheld, says the Lord. And you will overcome, for my victory belongs to you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 There are ones, and you may have missed it. And maybe you've gotten off track in an area. Or maybe you can see by teachings sometimes that you haven't, I believe the Spirit's saying, you haven't defined your course as well as you should. But don't get into condemnation. Don't get yourself fearful. Don't get yourself worried. Hallelujah. For I see and know and understand, and if you ask me, I'll show you exactly what to do to redefine your course, to step into the place where you belong. Hallelujah. For I've not called you to criticize you, but I've called you to show you because I want you to step into the place. Hallelujah. You've had glimpses of a place to walk. You've had glimpses of a place that I have desired to take you. But you've seen and thought, well, maybe that's not me. Maybe that's just me wanting to do it. No, the Lord says, that's a place that I have desired to take you. But you say, but that doesn't fit me. That doesn't fit me. Yes, it does, says the Lord. That fits you. Hallelujah. Because you're measuring you against yourself. You're measuring you against your wisdom and your understanding. But it doesn't work by your wisdom and understanding. For I've called you to a place that you could not walk naturally, but you can walk if you follow my Spirit, and you will step into that place, and that place will end up becoming your place of strength. That will become your place. Hallelujah. That you walk with me and I reveal myself to you and you reveal my glory to others. So step over in that place. Start looking into that place. Don't turn your head aside and say, not for me. Look into that place and I'll show you how to walk there and how to go to that place. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit's saying this, in times past, there's ones here, you have seen things. Some have been many years. And you have seen things and you've even had a hope in the past of entering certain things. But as times have passed, it's been laid aside. It's been put down. And now, it isn't something you really think about. It isn't something, and you've wondered in your mind, was that really God showing? Was that really God speaking? And the Lord's saying this, you need to come back and pick that up. You need to come back to that place. Hallelujah. Because to you it may seem that's a little more glorious, it's a little more out there. And it might seem to you, gee, am I just trying to, I'm sort of thinking big-headed about myself. No. I've called you to something that's great. For my glory is great. For my power is great. And my power upon my people demonstrate things that are just outstanding. And I want you to come to that place. I want that people would see that I put my anointing upon people to do far beyond what normal people can do. And I want you to come to that place again and come and walk there and come and talk to me about that place. Come and show me and I'll give you revelation and that thing will be brought back to your heart again and take the place it is supposed to be taken for many years. And it'll come back again and you'll have a desire once more strongly, strongly to fulfill that and to walk in it. Hallelujah. 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 In the natural, water running over the dam cannot be changed. Hallelujah. But time hasn't ended yet. And still, there's things that I can bring back to you that you can walk in again. But don't delay. Don't put it off. For time will end. And it will not be done. But if you pick up now, says the Lord, I will take you back to that place and you will walk there in these last days. You will stand in that place that you saw many years ago. And I will fulfill it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord, if there's anything else you want us to do, we'll obey. We'll obey, do whatever it is that you'd like. Because we're interested in what you'd like. We're interested in that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Be blessed, folks, in the name of Jesus.